Well, hello, it's Reverend Steve here. Thank you very much for joining us for our short reflection today. The Bible verse today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a beautiful reading, isn't it? It's one of those things that I've come back to time and time again because I find it such a great comfort. It seems to say that we are surrounded in our life here, in our everyday life, with what's called a cloud of witnesses. In a sense, you wonder whether the witnesses, it sounds a bit legalistic, but I don't think that it is. I think what it's really asking us to think about is, what happens to those who have gone before us, and how do they support us as we go about the difficult business of the life that we all lead? Maybe behind that as well is, what is it to live the good life? What support do we need? And we can't live the good life, can we, on our own? It's completely impossible. We're sociable beings, and we need the encouragement of others to keep going. I think the cloud of witnesses are really those everyday saints, the people who've been and who've died, who've gone. Now, I know that it's a bit of a controversial subject. I mean, there's lots of different views on what happens after we die here. I mean, do we go into a extended sleep? Well, you know, my view really is that one day we're going to find out. But what I do think is that there is a strong hint, a strong hope here that we are not alone, and that those we have loved and lost are still rooting for us somehow. I've heard it said that what our forebears were, our loved ones who've been lost, is they're balcony people. They're cheering us on from the balcony. And I love that idea that when I'm feeling low or life is difficult, I often just think, you know what, my dear old dad, he'd still be here cheering me on if he could do. I once asked an old monk, why do we feel so close to those that we have lost? Is it wrong, I said, because I was in one of those periods of my faith where I was feeling slightly scrupulous and not sure, really, maybe as I should have been, about the grace of the Lord. I asked him, why do they feel so close? And he said to me, you know, that's just the point, he said. If they're not cheering us on, why do we sometimes have such a strong sense of their presence? I sometimes just get a feeling about my dear old dad. I hear him saying, go on, go for it, son. And I don't think that's just simple wish fulfillment. I genuinely do think we have a cloud of witnesses, those who love us and who are still supporting us in some way. It's a wonderful vision, whatever you want to say. I don't think we pray to them. We don't pray to those who've gone before. But I think we can be thankful for them. Thankful that we aren't alone and that our lives matters, and one day we're going to be part of that great cloud of witnesses. Of course, the greatest member is Jesus himself. And we get a picture here, don't we? A beautiful picture of him as the perfecter of our faith. We, even if we do it in our own way, as falteringly as we do, we're called to be something like him and his example in this troubled world. And we hear that part of that example is that he took up his cross. He took up the pain and burdens of others. He did something about it. It's interesting, isn't it? The passage says that he did it for the joy set before him. And we don't often think of the cross as a very joyous. We don't think of our suffering as joyous. But in a way, we realise that Jesus did what he did freely. He did it because he loved us. He didn't have to do it. He did it because he wanted freedom for us and community for us. So, friends, I take from this that we are not alone. I don't think that's spooky. I don't think that's odd. I just think it's encouraging. It kind of points to the fact that there's a much greater continuity in the world than we sometimes give it credit for. There's freedom and there's joy in following the Lord. And we're not alone. We're full of supporters. In my previous life, when I used to run my business, I had one of my most wonderful jobs was going out to the University of the West Indies on occasion to lead a workshop and work with various academics out there. It was just the most fabulous experience. And the first time I went, I was quite young. I was just 30, I think, and most of the people I was teaching were in their 50s and 60s, really established and wonderful, serious but joyous people. When we got to the end, final session, it would have been a really amazing experience, and I just said thank you very much and goodbye. And Theo Ferguson, who was running the session, said to me, no, Steve, that's not how we do it here. He said, come here. And he pulled me out from behind the lectern, and all the people I was teaching surrounded me in a kind of circle, and each one said something about what they'd liked about working with me. Well, I can tell you, it was the most motivating, the most beautiful thing that had ever happened. It was absolutely wonderful. And I think that's the cloud of witnesses. I experienced it in the West Indies. I've experienced it since. And I encourage you, you are not alone. Amen.